Now, who or what do you listen to? That's the question that should be on our minds this morning. Because twice in that reading, Jesus said that those who follow him, his sheep, will listen to his voice. But there are so many voices, aren't there, around us, competing for our attention all the time. And I don't mean just the voices, perhaps, of your parents, for those at school that it's time for you to get out of bed in the morning. There are the kind of voices of our culture, what we see on social media, what we watch on our televisions. Whether we like it or not, all of those things affect how we think. Now, on YouTube, there are self-proclaimed influencers whose explicit aim is to change how we think. And of course, the more you watch, the more likely it is that you're going to be affected by these things. And then there's the voice of maybe leaders, of authorities. So, for example, is the AstraZeneca vaccine safe? Well, the European leaders seem to share one view. Scientists have taken another. Who do you trust? And what about the voices even within us? The voice, for example, that says there is no limit to the amount of chocolate that your bodies can consume at Easter. Or the voice that says, put yourself first. You deserve it. There are no shortages of different voices, but each of us has just two ears and one mind. Who do you listen to? Now, we're just 2 weeks away, aren't we, from Easter now? And if you listen to the voices of culture and society, you'd think that Easter was pretty much all about chocolate, with a little bit of maybe hot cross buns, fluffy bunnies, and a few daffodils thrown into the mix. So, as Josh was saying, in our Easter talks, we thought we'd take some time to look at some of these images and see whether they have any link to the real message of Easter. So we're going to save the chocolate for Easter Sunday, the hot cross buns for Good Friday. But this week, the picture, I've got another picture of a lovely spring lamb. I think mine's even cuter than Josh's, to be fair. Well, isn't that just a perfect Easter picture? Well, what do sheep have to do with Easter? Well, Josh, as I say, has already given us a few hints that one aspect of it, as we remember Easter, is that it falls at the same time as the Passover. But I thought we can't possibly talk about sheep without looking at this famous passage in which Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. This good shepherd who knows his sheep, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Now, if you haven't come across any of this kind of stuff before, you might think, well, that's a pretty uncomfortably close relationship between a man and his sheep. I mean, my brother was a shepherd, and I would have been very concerned if he ever said that he knew his sheep or would give his life for his sheep. So what is going on here? Well, Jesus is addressing a problem of bad shepherds. Now, it's quite possible that most of us townies, our knowledge of farming perhaps has been largely sourced by Shaun the Sheep. If so, you may remember, I think this film goes back to the 1990s now, you may remember Preston the dog. Now, he was given to Wendoline by her father as a guard dog. I think it's in the, was it the Close Shave, I think it was called. But in addition to the sheep that they kept to provide wool for Wendolin's haberdashery business, Preston discovered a much more lucrative activity which involved stealing other people's sheep and turning them into. Does anyone know what they turn them into? Dog food. Well, Wendoline eventually discovered this terrible secret, and she confronted Preston the dog. She said, Daddy created you for good, but you've turned out evil. You were supposed to be protecting me. Daddy created you for good, but you turned out evil. Well, that's the gospel according to Wallace and Gromit. And that's pretty similar to the accusation that Jesus was making to the people that he was addressing. This is in verse 1 of chapter 10, which I'm sure you've got in front of you. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Now, the story starts back in chapter 9 of John's Gospel. Now, so if you've got a Bible, flick back to chapter 9, where Jesus healed a man who was born blind. And this healing ended up being investigated by the Pharisees, the religious leaders and the supposed shepherds of the people. But they couldn't possibly accept that Jesus might be from God. And the man responds quite amusingly in a way in verse 30. He says, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he's opened my eyes. We, that is the Jews, we know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of anyone opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." It's a wonderful story. Do read the whole thing again for you when you have the chance. But in verse 41, Jesus gives his own verdict on these leaders, these Pharisees. He says, "If you were blind, like this man, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains." You see, the Pharisees were bad shepherds. They didn't care about the people that they were meant to be leading. They're only interested in protecting themselves and their positions. So Jesus told them this story in language that they really should have understood. Because God's people had historically always been described as sheep. If you read through the Old Testament, they're often described as sheep there. And God is always described as the divine shepherd of his people. And Israel's leaders had been appointed by God, the shepherd, as kind of under-shepherds of the people under his authority. And Jesus says the Pharisees had failed as shepherds. That they were more like what he describes here as the hired hands that have been appointed, who just didn't care for their sheep and who run away at the first sign of danger. But instead, and this is the first of three key things I'd just like to see us in this passage this morning, that good shepherds care for the sheep. Good shepherds, good leaders, they care for their people. Now, some of you will be aware that today, Sunday the 21st of March, happens to be the day of the national census. And that comes around every 10 years. Now, whatever you think of some of the questions that we're being asked to answer this year, the purpose of the census is for our good. It's there to help government, charities, businesses to identify the needs of the people, both locally and nationally. And the information that's gathered is there to help authorities to decide, for example, where to build schools, where to make provision for the elderly, where to allocate future spending. And you can only do those things and do them well if you know the people that you're there to serve. Well, the good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows everything about them. He doesn't have to run a census. He just knows everything about his sheep. And that means he knows how they're feeling every moment of every day. He knows what their needs are. He knows what their strengths and their gifts are, and he knows their vulnerabilities. Now, Israel's King David, perhaps above anybody, understood this. As a boy, he was a shepherd. And his words famously have brought comfort to so many millions down the ages. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If the Lord is your shepherd, you will lack nothing. As we read elsewhere in another psalm, he knows us better than we know ourselves. His care is beyond our understanding. The care for the people that he created. Psalm 139 says this, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them." Now those things are amazing. But there's even more. Good shepherds care for the sheep, but the good shepherd laid down his life. The good shepherd laid down his life. And that's the second thing in our passage this morning. It's the thing that takes us right to the heart of what Easter is all about. Now on Tuesday, we are being encouraged to observe a day of reflection, a national day of reflection. I guess it's the closest that our kind of godless country can come to a national day of prayer. But let's be thankful for small mercies and let's be involved in this. It would be good for us to reflect on the many thousands of lives that have been lost to COVID over these last 12 months. Most of us know somebody, perhaps a very close family member who's died with the virus. It's right that we should pause, that we should reflect, that we should pray. But for all of those lives that we mourn over these last 12 months, I guess none of them would say that it was their choice to die. For someone to give their life, to lay down their life, well, that is something completely different. Even thinking about those who have died of COVID, trying to save others. Think about some of the doctors and the nurses whose lives have been lost. Even they didn't deliberately lay down their lives. What Jesus did is unique. And we'll see that more as we look into the detail a bit over the next couple of weeks. Jesus willingly and deliberately went to his death. He resisted every temptation that he must have faced to avoid such an outcome. He was innocent, but he bore the punishment of guilty men, women, and children. And that was his choice. It was the ultimate act of self-sacrifice for the good of others. Now, when COVID is all over, there will no doubt be various inquiries as to what went wrong, whether fewer people perhaps would have died if different actions have been taken, whether lockdown should have happened a bit sooner or whatever, who was to blame, etc., etc. And people have similar thoughts about the death of Jesus. Was it the Jews? Was it their fault? Was it the Romans? Or should we be blaming Judas or Pilate or Herod? Now, none of those people were innocent. But the fact remains that the Good Shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. Verse 17 of our reading says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Jesus didn't just die, of course. He rose again. He didn't just lay down his life. He took it up again. And that's what gives hope to so many. Now, in the run-up to Easter, we've just started in these last few days publishing some what we're calling Easter stories from a number of people within the church family here who want everybody to hear of the joy and the hope that Easter brings. Now, I want to give you a little taster now as we hear from Vanessa. And don't be deceived, she's not talking about Christmas, she is talking about Easter.
I love Christmas. A babe in a manger, angels, shepherds, mysterious wise men, mince pies, presents, Christmas trees, and that reassuring verse on Christmas morning, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." But I'm a chocoholic, and so Easter is better. But not so pretty. A betrayal, a false trial, a cruel cross, a death. But then, a resurrection. And the reason for God's gift realized. So that those who believe in him may not perish, but have eternal life. And God has provided a way for me to be reconciled to him. And that fills my heart with gratitude and joy.
Well, thank you to Vanessa for sharing that with us. If anybody else, by the way, would like to share something about Easter that gives you hope, then please do get in touch. And of course, do share these little stories on Facebook, on Instagram, with friends, with those that you know need to hear the good news of Jesus. Now, it is no coincidence that Vanessa emphasized the vital importance of Jesus' physical resurrection. Because the Good Shepherd laid down his life and he took it up again. And that brings us to the final thing that I want us to see from our reading this morning. Because if he hadn't raised again, this wouldn't make any sense whatsoever. He says his sheep listen to his voice. Jesus' sheep listen to his voice. And this is back where we started a few minutes ago. Whose voice will you listen to? And more importantly, will you listen to Jesus' voice? Look again at verse 19 with me. The Jews who heard these words that Jesus had just spoken to them, they were again divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed, he's raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" We listen to voices that we think we can trust. Now, I had my vaccine last Thursday, and I'm sure you're all thinking he can't possibly be old enough. And a clear liquid was injected into my arm, I think. Well, was it safe? Well, I'm going to believe the advice of the medicine's regulatory authority. Now, I understand that this week some people did refuse to take the Oxford jab. And that, of course, is their right. But presumably they took that decision because they didn't believe the advice. We listen, don't we, to those that we trust. And what we do is driven, what we actually do, what the actions that we take, they're driven by the things that we believe. Jesus, for example, here, he obeyed the voice of his Father because he trusted him. "The Father knows me," he said, "and I know the Father. I have authority to lay down my life as well as to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Now, the Pharisees, well, they wouldn't listen to Jesus because they wouldn't believe. And it wasn't for a lack of evidence. In this particular example, he has given sight to this man who's born blind. And they said later, if you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. And he said, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. So what about you this morning? What about me? Are we amongst his sheep? Because this is the vital question. Are we included in that one flock that he talks about, following the one shepherd? Those who listen to Jesus are those who believe. Verse 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So what does it mean to listen to Jesus? Well, you could come up with all sorts of answers to this, but here's a quick list. It means coming to him. It means accepting the free offer of forgiveness and salvation. It means trusting that what Jesus says, what the Bible says, is always right. Even when we're not sure, even when the culture around us tells us a different message. It means always submitting to him, doing the things that please him, not doing the things that clearly do not please him. It means getting to know Jesus through the Bible. It means obeying him. It means getting baptized, perhaps. It means spending time with his body, the body of Christ, which is the church, bearing with one another, loving one another. It means sharing his love with others, telling others about him, standing up for things that are right. It means talking to him in prayer. Of course, a one-way relationship is no relationship at all. It means looking forward to the day when we will see him, as we discussed a little last Sunday. Looking forward to that day when we will see him face to face. Looking forward to spending eternity in his presence, in his worship. Now, listening to Jesus doesn't mean that somehow we should stop listening to every other voice. It's not that we have to kind of put ourselves in a monastery or a convent or something, but it does mean being very careful about the voices that do influence us. Turning off those other voices if we can't control the way that they influence our thoughts. So are you listening to Jesus? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you once again for sending Jesus, for the good shepherd who knows us, who laid down his life for us. And we confess that we don't always listen to you. We don't always obey you. Please forgive us. Please change us. Please help us day by day to listen, to put you first. For our good and for your glory, we pray. Amen.